Influencers is brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I'm your host, Lady Shima. This show is a platform to highlight the transformational impact of global and national influencers who use the power of their influence to promote positive change. We also bring focused attention to the personal stories of influencers with the hope that their tenacity in the face of hard-hitting challenges and their unrelenting resilience will inspire the comeback spirit in every local and international listener. And today, according to the World Tourism Organization, tourist arrivals declined globally by 73% in 2020, with 1 billion fewer travelers compared to 2019, putting in jeopardy between 100 to 120 million direct tourism jobs. Here in the Bahamas, with tourism as our strongest economic pillar, the economic decline experienced as a result of the plummet in visitor arrivals in 2020 compared to the record of 7.2 million visitor arrivals in 2019 was woundedly staggering. Nevertheless, the resilience of the Bahamas brand stands tall as the industry makes a strong rebound. But what are those factors that impact the sustainability of tourism in the Bahamas? Today, I speak with influencer Benjamin Pratt, senior manager within the Sustainable Tourism Department at the Ministry of Tourism, Investments and Aviation, on the topic 242 Tourism, Sustainability in a Post-Pandemic World. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM.
Hey, Dad, want a race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Sawyer Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices.
Welcome to Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. I am your host, Lady Shima, and with me today is a wonderful influencer from the Ministry of Tourism. He is Mr. Benjamin Pratt. He is the senior manager within the Department of Sustainable Tourism at the Ministry of Tourism, Investments and Aviation. Welcome to the show.
It's my pleasure to be here, Shima, and it's a pleasure to be able to speak to the Bahamian people.
Yes, most definitely. And you know what? I'm excited about all things tourism. I've been, for many years, wanting to be a part of the great Bahamas brand team there at the Ministry of Tourism. And I've finally, gotten my chance and getting to know all of the influencers, the movers and the shakers of the lifeblood of the Bahamian economy there at the Ministry of Tourism, and you are definitely one of those persons. And like I said just a second ago, you're a senior manager there within the Department of Sustainable Tourism. You joined back in 1987, so that translates to 35 years with the ministry.
Absolutely.
And, you Yes, you served in quite a number of roles within various departments, and I'll let you speak specifically to those roles in just a bit. But let's step back for just a little bit. I want you to take this opportunity and take about 2 or 3 minutes and give us some insight into your personal background. Take us back to the beginning days in the settlement of Kung Sound Andros. The Church of God of Prophecy comes to mind, the brass band, the rushing in the new year, all yes. these sweet, wonderful memories. Take us back. Take us back.
Well, I am so privileged to have been raised, born and raised in the settlement of Kung Sound, small settlement in North Andros, back in 1965. I come from a family of 16. I have 7 brothers and, yes, 8 sisters. Both of my parents were church ministers in the Church of God of Prophecy. My mother was, in fact, the local pastor, and my father served as the deacon. Now, we had a fantastic growing up period. All of my brothers are musicians, and we played instruments. We had a brass band. We had a singing group called the Pratt Brothers. Mm-hmm, we traveled across the Bahamas doing concerts and so on and so forth. We just had a fantastic time. We also had a church choir, which I served as the director for a number of years before moving to Nassau. And so I don't think there was ever a moment that I had to be alone, because the size of my family, like I said, there's 16 of us. I had tons of nieces and nephews and first cousins and aunts and uncles. So it was a really tight community. During a time when everybody knew everybody, everybody was everybody's neighbor. And it was just a fantastic time in my life.
Mm-hmm. And during those years, on the island of Andros, I believe that that's where you made your introduction, so to speak, into the wonderful world of tourism. Yes.
Absolutely. I joined the Ministry of Tourism in 1987 as a tourist information officer on the island of Andros. Mm-hmm. And it was during a time when the island was really going through a transition. This is back mm-hmm. in the early mid-1980s, and the Honorable Darrell Rowe became the new Member of Parliament for the area. And mm-hmm. During that time, Everett Hart was the new administrator or commissioner back then. And for that 5-year period between 1987 and 1992, a tremendous amount of development took place in the North Andros area. We got a new clinic. We got a new administrative building. We got a new airport at San Andros. Roads were upgraded. The infrastructure was upgraded. We began seeing quite a bit of tourism expansion on the island. And so I came in at a time when there's a whole lot going on. My duty primarily was to coordinate a number of activities on the island, like the festivals and regattas and so forth, provide information for tourists on the island, provide information for the tourist offices overseas, to facilitate travel of travel writers and agents who came to the island and wanted to be exposed to the product. And so it was mm-hmm. a tremendous time for us in Andros.
Mm-hmm. What stands out to you about the uniqueness of what Andros has to offer within the framework of the overall Bahamas brand that we present to the world?
Well, the great thing about Andros, and it has been, distinguished itself very, very early on as a destination with a strong focus on the environment, strong focus on nature-based activities. So as early as the 60s, in fact, the Small Hope Bay Lodge was the very first fully dive resort in this part of the world. And so mm-hmm. diving was a major activity there, both at Small Hope Bay Lodge and the Andros Beach Hotel at the time. Then fly fishing or bone fishing emerged during the 70s, 80s, 90s and became a major part of our brand. And to this day, Andros is still regarded as the top fly fishing or bone fishing destination in the world.
Yes, and we're going to be talking more about the overall influence and impact of the family islands on our Bahamas brand a little bit later on down in the show as we continue to talk about our topic. 242 Tourism, Sustainability in a Post-Pandemic World. But while we're still talking a bit about your personal background and talking about the beginning days, who or what influenced you to get into this mecca called tourism here in the Bahamas? And talk to us a bit about your matriculation during your tenure at the Ministry of Tourism. Now, I know that you can be quite lengthy in your answer to that particular part, because you've made quite a bit of contribution there at the ministry. But let's try to give the summarized version for the sake of this conversation today.
I'll keep it short. I came into the Ministry of Tourism and into the industry almost by mistake. When I came out of high school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. But in 1985, a young lady at the time by the name of Jeriton Outen was transferred from Grand Bahama in the Ministry of Tourism to Andros to open the tourist office there. And she was there for several years. And when she was leaving, or just before she was leaving, she'd asked me if I was interested in joining the ministry. I said no, but she convinced me that it was a wonderful industry to be a part of. And so I sent in an application, and several weeks later got a call from Mrs. Angela Clare, who interviewed me, and I got the job. And it's been a fantastic choice that I made in terms of a career, because I've been in it, like you said, for the last 35 years and enjoyed every moment.
And I want you to give us a little bit more with this answer here and talking to us about your matriculation up to the time of becoming senior manager within the Department of Sustainable Tourism there at the ministry.
Sure.
You don't have to be too detailed, but we'd like to get to know a little bit more about that.
Beautiful. So I guess I said I joined in 1987 as the Tourist Information Officer for Andros, then moved to Nassau in 1991, worked in the Tourist Information Department. Then from there, I was transferred to the Film Commission, which I really, really enjoyed. The Collaterals Department, that is where I went to next. That department really, at the time, dealt with editing magazines, looking at articles that featured the Bahamas, working with the development of brochures. I enjoyed that. Then from there, I went to the Out Islands Department, where I served for a number of years. I served in the training department with Bahama Hosts. Then I returned to Andros again in 2007 to become senior manager for the office in Fresh Creek. I returned to Nassau in 2011, became a part of the Family Islands Department, so still had my hands on the pulse of the Family Islands, which I again enjoyed. And of course, before coming to the Sustainable Tourism Department in 2020, I served for about 2 years in the Hotel Licensing Department.
And so you definitely have a very diverse and varied experience and background there when it comes to your roles and the caps that you've worn at the Ministry of Tourism, which all, of course, landed towards you being able to lend expertise to the area that you're functioning in right now. And let's get into that, talking about sustainable tourism. Of course, our topic for today, 242 Tourism, Sustainability in a Post-Pandemic World, for those persons who may just be joining us. And I'm speaking with Senior Manager within the Department of Sustainable Tourism at the Ministry of Tourism, Investments in Aviation. And just for the sake of this conversation that we're having right now, you know, there are such a number of definitions that I've heard when it comes to the term sustainable tourism. But what is the working definition is what I want to ask. What is the working definition for sustainable tourism within the scope of the Ministry of Tourism in the Bahamas?
Well, before I get to the ministry's position, let me give you a broader overview and then come back to the ministry.
Okay.
The World Tourism Organization defines sustainable tourism as being tourism that takes full account of its economic, social, and environmental impacts while addressing the needs of visitors, the industry, the environment, and host communities. There's also another definition that's given by the World Commission on Environment and Development, which is the ability to meet the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their particular needs. So using those terms as a framework, we in the sustainable department of the ministry have been actually looking at several objectives that we have been trying to achieve over the years. One being that we want to encourage environmental conservation and protection of natural resources and biodiversity, support ethical and sustainable product sourcing, consumer consumption, production, and delivery mechanisms, the strengthening of sectorial linkages with tourism and communities to create sustainable economic opportunities for our citizens, and of course, to recommend respectful approach to the integration of heritage and culture into our visitor experience. And so we try our best to achieve those goals.
Talking about those goals, let's delve into those for just a little bit, okay? You gave really four bullet points just now as it relates to your overall objectives. Let's speak to each one of those goals, objectives, and the strategies or the mechanisms, the methods that are being used in really executing or meeting these objectives. And let's start with the first one that you just provided. Remind me of that one again, please.
Encourage environmental conservation and protection of natural resources and biodiversity.
Mm-hmm. And how exactly is that being met?
Well, we have a strong partnership with a number of agencies and NGOs. For example, mm-hmm. the Bahamas National Trust. We have been working with them to identify areas of natural beauty within the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. For example, there are several national parks that are being developed across the islands of the Bahamas, the largest one being Andros, where mm-hmm. they have well over 1 million acres of land and sea that they've set apart for a national park.
Amazing.
And so we are actually, as I speak, they are extending and creating boardwalks for nature tours. They are green spaces and really improving the infrastructure in some of those national parks.
Mm-hmm. And what was the second objective that you gave?
Second one, support ethical and sustainable product sourcing, consumption, production, and delivery.
Mm-hmm. And how exactly is that being met? Go ahead.
Okay. So we recognize that as tourism continues to expand and to grow, obviously there is need for the sourcing of supplies. And this is mostly from foreign countries. And so in doing so, though, mm-hmm. when those supplies would have come to the Bahamas, there's quite a bit of waste that is accumulated. And so we are working with hotels and other organizations to ensure that they minimize the amount of waste that is actually generated. So packaging is important. We are also mm-hmm. working with local producers. We're working with BAMSI, for example, talking with farmers about being able to provide not locally grown fruits and vegetables to supply the local market. And of course, working with organizations mm-hmm. such as the Ministry for the Environment and others to ensure that even our waste and how that is collected and how that is actually treated. Mm-hmm. Scott Bowe, who is one of our offices within our department, has been working with a number of agencies to ensure that we look at recycling as a means to reduce waste in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. And what specifically has been done with this particular objective in reaching out to the wider public, for example, and just our role that we play as individuals, you know, when it comes to minimizing waste and waste management?
Yes.
Because each individual counts.
Well, you believe it that just the other day, we had a conversation with a private sector person who is running an organization called Hands for Kids, a program. Ginny Kinney is actually her name. And and so they are actually promoting the collection of plastic bottles, mm-hmm. which are actually packaged and shipped overseas. They also, for quite a bit, have been collecting cans as well. Mm-hmm. And so... We're really working hard to identify those organizations and to familiarize the Bahamian public about what needs to happen in terms of waste collection and disposal.
Mm-hmm. I'm really happy to hear what it is that you just said, because impacting and influencing the next generation is so, so very important. It's one thing to reach those adults of today, right? But what about those persons who are coming up, right? Because that's going to speak to the posterity and the future, of the Bahamas brand. And so that too is also very, very important. And okay, so let's continue. What about the third objective and how that's being met?
So strengthening sectorial linkages, mm-hmm. with tourism in communities to create sustainable economic opportunities. And so mm-hmm. as I mentioned earlier, we're really working hard with farmers, for example, in the Family Islands, and linking them with hotel properties, restaurants here in New Providence to make use of the local produce that's being produced. But in addition to that, there's a project that we're working in Andros. We'll probably talk about a bit more about this later, called the Andros Cluster Development Project. And it's really designed to bring together those various entities in the tourism sector and to create collaboration between them. So, for example, we know that you do have hotels, for example, that provide accommodation. You have restaurants in the various communities. You have persons who provide services such as fly fishing, guiding services, persons who provide services or could provide services as local ecotourism guides. And so the idea really is to bring all of these individuals together, persons who create souvenir items, for example, to bring all of them together so that they're able to share in the benefits of collaboration mm-hmm. in the tourism sector.
Mm-hmm. That's a really awesome project. And you just said the word, I wanted to talk about that for a little bit. And that is about the influence and the power, the impact of collaboration, because I'm hearing a lot about collaboration. No need to reinvent the wheel, right? When
Absolutely.
There are already established organizations and movements and, a presence already doing what it is that the ministry is seeking to do, more specifically as it relates to sustainable tourism. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's actually something called community-based tourism that we've also mm-hmm. been promoting through our department. It is something that is growing by leaps and bounds throughout the Caribbean region. And what it is really is, again, bringing those linkages together and making sure that they are aligned and delivering on the promise. For example, tourism requires, in order for it to work properly, it requires a number of things to be working in tandem. And so, for example, if you're in a community in one of the Family Islands, you don't necessarily have to have, the accommodation, also having a restaurant, mm-hmm. food and beverages, having access to all of the tours and so on and so forth. But if you had, accommodations, you had, half a dozen rooms, mm-hmm. more than likely there would be someone just down the road from you that has a bar, someone right down the road from you that has a restaurant, someone in the community who provide the fishing service, somebody in the community who provide the local tour opportunities. So mm-hmm. rather than you as one individual being concerned about providing all of these services and goods, if we could develop a working relationship with people within the community, it means now that not just that we are benefiting from tourism, but we're also extending an opportunity for our neighbors, our friends, our cousins, our relatives to also be a part of this business we call tourism and earn a handsome living from doing so.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely, and I'm very, very happy to hear you say that. I was just a part of a training earlier today, and the presenter, Mr. Valentin, he was actually talking about the importance of us remembering our value as a body at the Ministry of Tourism and really supporting and being the wheels for the backbone of the economy of the entire nation. Yes. And it brought to mind and it reminded me of this saying, a motto, if you will, and I remember it from the days of primary school, and that is that tourism is everybody's business.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we tend to forget that, but I'm sure we were reminded of the truth of that statement when the pandemic hit. Yes?
Right.
Because,
absolutely.
Yes, go ahead. You was going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say that the fourth point that I made mention of, and that is, how do we incorporate the integration of our heritage and cultural traditions into the overall visitor experience?
Okay, that's the fourth objective.
That's the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very important one. It's you know, back in the, I hate to date myself, but we'd say back in the old days when, you know, tourism was not at the level that it is now in terms of volume. You had visitors who came to the Bahamas who lived in smaller resorts, who actually came out of those compounds and went into the communities where they ate in restaurants, they drank in the local bars. They enjoyed the local entertainment. I hear people talk about the Freddie Munnings days and the, the Silver Slipper and so on and so forth. And so that was a way that our people really were able to show off their culture, their heritage. And we've lost a lot of that here in New Providence. But there is still an opportunity in the Family Islands to ensure that we incorporate our heritage and our cultural traditions into the tourism offering that we do provide.
And what are some of the ways that you suggest that we do that? Because that's very important.
Again, it's really about not being ashamed, but certainly being proud of who we are as individuals, who we are as communities. One of the great things about the Bahamas and Bahamians is the fact that we do have a very rich heritage. The fact that most of us, you know, our foreparents came to these islands as slaves and have been able to turn that tragedy into triumph because we've taken these these islands that were not populated for the most part and had very meager resources. And we were able to, over the years, convert those islands or these islands into some of the most wonderful individual destinations in the world. And we do so not just by the sun, sand, and sea, but by the fact that we are very open and very friendly towards the people who come here as visitors and as tourists. And we're not ashamed of our foods. We're not ashamed of our activities. You know, you talked about earlier about Russian and that tradition. We do it every year at Christmas, New Year's time. And we've got tons of people who come from as far away as Fresh Creek.
I was just going to ask you,
They come down to Kung Sound, to the local church, and they rush the night away. And so they enjoy stuff like that. You know, Junkanoo, for example. Again, visitors want to come. They want to not just observe these activities, but they also want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And our topic for today, 242 Tourism, Sustainability in a Post-Pandemic World. We're nearing that half mark now with the show where we're soon going to have to take a break. But when we get back from the break, they definitely want us to start to hone in on the post-pandemic world aspect of our topic for today. But right before we go to break, let's talk a bit about models of sustainable tourism, right? Let's talk about models. Let's talk about the model that we've used in the past, and let's compare it to the model that we are using today. And then once that we're done describing these models, let's talk about them comparatively, and let's have a little bit of a discussion on that.
Okay. So in the early days, you know, the Bahamas was known as that gem, that paradise where people came from bustling cities of the world, New York, the European cities, so on, come down just for the rest, relaxation, to enjoy nature-based activities. Back in those days, at least up until the, say, the 1980s, most of the hotels in the Bahamas were no more than 300 rooms in terms of size. So again, it gave people an opportunity to mingle with locals. They encouraged people actually to go out into the community and to do that. Most local Bahamians were, you know, allowed to come into the hotel and to interact with visitors on a very, very freely. From then, you know, we've expanded, particularly from the mid-1980s to the 90s and so forth. We became a mega destination. We had the Atlantis, you had the Bahama, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so we've gone from hundreds of rooms to thousands of rooms. And, the, you know, the compounds that spread out for acres and acres. And so while that has done us well from an economic perspective, you know, we've got to now look at the impacts that would have been sustained in terms of our water consumption, in terms of electricity and power generation. You got to look at the amount of waste, solid waste and liquid waste that would have been generated and how those are being treated and disposed of. Mm-hmm. We also have got to look at what has happened in terms of maybe displacement of people and displacement of, you know, there's so much destruction has been done to the natural environment, cut loss of trees and habitat for birds and so forth. And so we've gone, say, from small to mega. Mm-hmm. And so going forward, though, there's every indication that we have to, again, look at a more sustainable way of growing the industry. And so the model now for going forward is let's look at how we could conserve where we can in terms of water, in terms of power generation. Let's look at how we could also go back to this idea of developing smaller, more boutique resorts and providing those activities that are more environmentally friendly.
Do you think that we're ever really going to go back or probably entertain a model that's going to have a combination of both sort of working in harmony, hand in hand, so to speak?
Yeah, I think going forward, we're going to see more of sort of coexistence and harmony mm-hmm. between large resorts and smaller, more boutique properties. And the Bahamas, but quite honestly, is well suited for it because of the fact that, you know, we have over 700 islands. There are 16 of them that we promote. And so you have New Providence with the mega resorts and the infrastructure to sustain that. But then you also have smaller islands, you know, where an islands that are less developed, like Andros, where the emphasis is and will probably be for a long, long time on just nature and smaller properties.
Mm-hmm. The more boutique offerings
yes.
there.
Absolutely.
And talking about the mega large hotels like your Bahamas, your Atlantis, of course, you would have the environmental impact studies
yes.
That would have to be executed before the actual even construction, right? Even before that comes about. Is there any concern as it relates to profit and dollars over the actual conservation of the environment?
Well, you know, since 1992, the United Nations, again, had been very, very concerned and focused on the way in which development has been taking place around the world. And so there was a conference held in Rio de Janeiro, again, about the environment and sustainable development and what needed to happen to ensure that the world was able to do a better job at managing our resources going forward. And mm-hmm. so as a result of that, there's something called a sustainability principle, which pretty much says that, you know, in order for us to really succeed in the developing world, that we must really look at having a balance between the environment and how we use the natural resources, and then pair that with the cultural development of the destination, and look at how we can incorporate culture and heritage and the lifestyles of the people into the tourism product that we create, and then look at how we could distribute income from tourism, not just to benefit the investors and those who come here to build resorts and so forth, but how that money could be more equitably distributed throughout the economy. And so when we look at sustainable development, it's really looking at those three pillars. How do we develop the product in a way that we benefit socially and culturally? How do we develop the product so that we provide economic equity to all of our people? And then how do we do that in balance with nature to ensure that we're not destroying the very same thing that is supposed to bring us the success that we want?
All right, sustainability principle. And I would like for us to delve into that just a little bit more to bring that particular portion of our discussion to a close before we go more into talking about the post-pandemic state as it relates to tourism on the other side of the break. For those of you just tuning in, you're listening into Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Lady Shima, and with me today is influencer Benjamin Pratt. He is the senior manager within the Department of Sustainable Tourism at the Ministry of Tourism, Investment and Aviation. More on the other side of this break. Please stay tuned.
There's this place you can buy quality men and ladies fragrances like Versace and Jimmy Choo for the best prices in town. It's easy to find with lots of parking and great customer service too. Want to know where? I'm talking about Sawyer's Treasures and Things, located right next to Sawyer Studios in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 9 to 5. Call them now at 361-7299. Got it? Sawyer's Treasures and Things at 361-7299.
Hey, Dad, want to race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices.
Welcome back to Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I am your host, Lady Shima. In with me today, influencer Benjamin Pratt, Senior Manager within the Department of Sustainable Tourism at the Ministry of Tourism, Investment and Aviation. And today we are discussing the topic 242 Tourism, Sustainability in a Post-Pandemic World. And Mr. Pratt, right before we went to break, you introduced this term to our conversation. And that term was the sustainability principle.
Yes.
And then you went on to talk about the three pillars of sustainability. Let's discuss for a little bit these three pillars.
Okay, so the first pillar I want to discuss is that dealing with the economy. You know, we in developing industries, in this particular instance, tourism industry, we want to make sure that before any major project, particularly, is approved by the government, that they pay strict attention to how the economic benefits are going to trickle down through the economy, not just in terms of, you know, paychecks by those persons who are actually working in those resorts, but how you can have the spin-off effect. How do you get more of that money being spent to build, to generate businesses in the local communities? And so it's
the multiplier effect.
Absolutely. And then, of course, the second pillar being sociocultural. So how do we incorporate the social being of our people and our culture, our heritage, into the tourism product, making sure that visitors are exposed to Bahamians and the Bahamians way of life, looking at things like culture, junkanoo, Russian, all those things we talk about. How do we get visitors actually interfacing and interacting with Bahamians? So that's very, very important. And then, of course, you have the environment. The environment plays such a vital part of our development. And we should never, ever sacrifice it for the money. It should never be sacrificed for the economics. And in that regard, you know, you want to make sure that environmental impact assessments are observed and are submitted to the government for consideration, particularly as it relates to these very, very large resorts.
Okay, so those are the three pillars of sustainability. You're looking at the social and cultural impact and element there, as well as the importance of equity, as well as balancing a profitability along with the conservation of the environment. Excellent, very good. So let's continue on in our conversation here. Of course, the government always has a very, very important role as they are the policy makers. So can you speak for a little bit to the kind of governmental policies that currently exist with the purpose of ensuring the sustenance and success of sustainable tourism in the Bahamas?
Well, for a number of years, the government of the Bahamas has really been involved with, in a serious way, I believe, in looking at how we're going to develop this country in a way that, again, does not negatively impact the environment while balancing that with the social welfare of our people. And so the government over the years has signed a number of international treaties, the Paris Accord and others, that looks at how we could reduce and mitigate the effects of climate change. As you are aware, just a couple of years ago, you know, we would have had the impact of Hurricane Dorian in Grand Bahama and Abaco. And prior to that, there were several other hurricanes that negatively impact this country. And so as a policy, I believe the government is looking at ways that we could lessen our footprint, our carbon footprint on the planet, so that we are spared the ravages of climate change.
Yes, and that is so very, very important when looking at the posterity of our Bahamas brand. It is so important to look beyond where we are now and to ensure its longevity for upcoming generations. And with that said, now let's segue a little bit into talking about the actual impact of the pandemic on our sustainable tourism product as a destination. Give us a description and some insight on how sustainability of our tourism product was impacted by the pandemic. Of course, the first case being confirmed all the way back in March 15th, 2019. And of course, we're still feeling the hitting the brunt and the ravages of the pandemic. Now we're making a mighty comeback. We're very resilient as a brand, as a country, as a product, and I'm very glad about that. But let's go back into talking a little bit about the impact, and then we're going to move our way forward to this present day.
Sure. Prior to 2019, the only time in my lifetime that I would have actually seen the Bahamas at a place where there were no cruise ships in the harbor, and there were no planes bringing in tourists from the United States and elsewhere, was 9/11. Everything came to a halt. Yes. I thought I would never see the day again. And so when COVID-19 struck in 2019, we saw that. We saw for weeks, if not months, no cruise ships. There were no airlines. There were no tourists on Bay Street. Shops were closed. Restaurants were closed. Hotels were closed. Mm-hmm. And so I think that changed the way we look at tourism. There were people who said, well, it's a fickle industry. Maybe we need to diversify. Others said, you know, we perhaps just need to find better ways to do what we have been doing. So it caused us to look at resilience and how we could actually rebound. And I believe you've done a good job in doing that. And I'll be sure to continue to do so.
What do you think those factors are that contributed heavily towards us being so resilient when it comes to making a comeback with our tourism product here in the Bahamas, even after being hit by the pandemic?
I believe that it is because the fact that we recognize, we as Bahamians recognize, that tourism is our number one industry. Until there is another that can surpass it, it is what we have. It is responsible for more than 50% of the jobs in the country. It is responsible for a significant part, the lion's share of our GDP. And because of that, we recognize then that we have to do, all of us as citizens of this country, have to do our best to ensure that this industry survives.
Mm-hmm. You've obtained professional certification in sustainable tourism destination management.
Yes.
That's a lot to say. within the context of the streamlined knowledge you have obtained from this particular certification, where do you believe the Bahamas stands as a sustainable tourism destination within the Caribbean region specifically?
There are other destinations like Costa Rica and Belize and others that are further ahead than us. Mm-hmm. So we've pretty much started late in this race. But by virtue of our makeup as a country, we believe that we can emerge to become a major player and perhaps even a front runner in being a sustainable destination in this part of the world.
Good. I was reading up on a staged authenticity because I had a conversation with some persons regard her as the queen of Junkanoo, Sweet Emily, and she was talking about her concern with the authentic Bahamian sound being preserved for upcoming generations with our rake and scrape, our boombe, our Junkanoo, these various stylings, if you will, of the authentic Bahamian sound. And there's this term, staged authenticity, and it refers to when events or cultures are manufactured just to bring in tourism and money, even when they don't reflect the local culture of destination communities. And any concerns that the Bahamas brand may have in some form being impacted by this, you feel?
Yes, I believe I share the concerns that Sweet Emily would have. As we would have established early in this interview, my brothers and I had singing groups, from the 1970s all the way up. And so we tried to project a style that was Bahamian. But we lived long enough. We lived through that period where we became infiltrated by other sounds, particularly in the music area from other places. We lived mm-hmm. through the reggae era, mm-hmm. the domination of the Jamaican influence over us, the U.S. Music, R&B, and the rest of it. And so for most Bahamians, particularly those in the entertainment industry, it's been a struggle. And I give great credit and kudos to people like Sweet Emily and KB and others who have been resilient, finding ways to rekindle the Bahamian sound and to present it and package it in a way that it is acceptable. Sorry, to mm-hmm. particularly the younger Bahamians.
Yes, because it is a part of our Bahamas brand, of what it is yes. that we have to offer. It's actually a major part of what it is that we have to offer. We are a very, rhythmic people, and it matters a whole lot to us, and it represents a strong percentage of what it is that we have to offer that is unique to Bahamian culture. Goals of sustainable tourism. I was reading up on greentourism.eu, and that particular academic website focuses on green ideas for tourism in Europe. And these goals really caught my eye: economic viability, local prosperity, employment quality, and social equity. I believe that you've spoken to this in part, economic viability, to make sure that tourism destinations and businesses are viable, competitive, and able to achieve long-term success. As it relates to economic viability, where do you believe the Bahamas stands now post-pandemic with our tourism product?
Well, I believe that the Bahamas is well positioned to move forward in the tourism arena as a champion. Because what has happened since COVID, and there are any number of surveys and studies that have been done, and what has been observed is that visitors from around the world, particularly European visitors, are mm-hmm. interested in destinations that are not crowded. They're not interested in large hotels. They want more environmentally, those activities that are more nature-based. And the Bahamas is well positioned for that. We have some of the greenest islands in the world. You get some islands of the Bahamas where, you know, if you were to fly over, you wouldn't recognize that there are houses down there, because that's the density of the vegetation. So we have a lot of green cover. This is what people want. They want to come to places where you have that. They want to be in a low density destination. And they want to enjoy activities that are nature-based, and they want to be among people who could appreciate that.
Yes, most definitely. And with that said, let's talk a bit about some of the sustainable tourism bodies that the Bahamas is a part of, and even more specifically, pardon me, the actual Ministry of Tourism itself here in the Bahamas. Why did ministry executives see it as necessary to become a member of the GSTC, that is the Global Sustainable Tourism Council? And what are some deliberate benefits that have been made or that have been had since the Ministry of Tourism has become a part or a member of the GSTC?
Well, what has been happening over the years, and even more so accelerated in recent times, is that travelers around the world and those agencies that book vacation packages are really concerned about the environment and climate change. And for a number of them, they have been looking at destinations to determine, you know, their level of negative impact on you know, carbon footprint. And so so there are a number of international bodies that are actually certifying destinations. They're measuring, they put certain stipulation in place, certain criteria that they can be measured by in terms of their carbon footprint and what they're doing to mitigate the negative impact of climate change. And so the Global Sustainable Tourism Council is one such organization that we joined recently. We have a number of councils, local councils that have been established on several islands, Eleuthera, Exuma, Harbor Island, and Andros. And so these are all non-governmental, private sector-driven volunteers who are saying to the Ministry of Tourism and saying to the government, you know, they want to see their islands more pristine. They want to control, have some say in how the tourism industry is developed there. And of course, they also are having a say in terms of, you know, what kind of emphasis they want to see placed on projects like waste management projects. You have some of them that are actually focusing in on developing local attractions. And so these have played a pivotal role, and are playing a pivotal role in how their particular island is actually positioned in the marketplace.
That's good to hear. Definitely wonderful progressive initiatives there as it pertains to the sustainability of our tourism product here in the Bahamas. With that said, a little bit earlier before in this conversation, we spoke about the old model of tourism here in the Bahamas, and we spoke about the current model. As we wrap up our conversation today with our topic, 242 Tourism, Sustainability in a Post-Pandemic World, let's hear your thought on the future model of tourism in the Bahamas as it relates to sustainability. What in your mind should that look like, and why?
Well, let me start by really giving credit to a number of persons in our department that has really been doing this fantastic job at this. Crystal Bethel, who serves as the senior director. There's Janelle Campbell, who actually, we talk about the GSTC program. She heads that, doing a fantastic job at it. Scott Bow, waste management. There's Taran Sims, excellent young man, very sharp. And of course, Islander Sands. So these people really are those in the Ministry of Tourism that have been working with our dynamic Director General and, of course, the Minister to look at how we could assist in crafting policy that would ensure that the Bahamas and the tourism product develops in a very sustainable way going forward. Now, in terms of what that looks like, I think we're going to see more in terms of certifications of the destination as a truly sustainable destinations with measurable criteria and standards. I think we're also working with other, like BAMSI, for example, in Andros, developing the fly fishing guide certification program, which again will monitor and measure the capacity and the capacity of our guides in the islands. We're also developing certification programs for birding, so that persons who offer birding tours will be properly trained and certified to deliver that service. And of course, the third one being nature tour guides, developing a certification program for them. So a lot is going to be said, and you're going to see a lot done in terms of certification, not just of the destination, but also of products that we're developing as well.
Not just of the destination, but also in the terms of the products that are being developed, because we must evolve in an ever-changing and evolving world and environment. And I believe that as a Bahamas brand, that we have one of the most resilient brands in the world as it relates to tourism being sustainable. Thank you so very much, Mr. Benjamin Pratt, Senior Manager there at the Sustainable Tourism Department, the Ministry of Tourism, Investments and Aviation, as we had a very, very insightful talk on the topic 242 Tourism, Sustainability in a Post-Pandemic World. Thank you so very much.
Pleasure.
Until next time, blessings.
Influencers was brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.